Cudmore at the American Revolution in the Mohawk Valley Conference. And it's a pleasure to talk to Phil Weaver. We spoke with Phil from at last year's event about his many historical activities. What's the name of the consulting company you've got?
It's called Continental Consulting. It was started as a literal name to go with the newsletter, which is called the Colonial Chronicle, that I did on the living history hobby. I briefly mentioned it last time, I believe, and it was a newsletter ran about 6 years. I'm short one issue, and they got farther and farther behind. They were a quarterly newsletter, and it went very, very well, but it was a cult following, and it got to be a little too hard to do. So what I've been doing is I branched out and I started selling books and my own research, uniform plates and things like this. And then I took, a few years ago, I took all the special stuff on the Revolutionary War part of it, because I also did F&I War a little bit on the 1830 period. And I put the stuff together in a book called The Greatest Hits, The Rev War Years. And it's a self-published book, but we've been selling quite a few of them and it's doing very, very well.
I'm interested because even I have picked up on the fact that aficionados call it the Rev War, the Revolutionary War. And then I heard you mention the F&I War, which must be the French and Indian War,
of course. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's shorthand. And I've been doing the living history thing since 1975 when I started. So somewhere along the way, I picked up Rev War, and everybody started calling it that.
And you were the first.
Oh, I don't think I was the first. I heard about it. I'm like the second generation. There was that started earlier, guys like Fred Wallace started 64th Foot. Certainly the George Newman and George Woodbridge and all these guys with the Brigade of the American Revolution, they started in the early 60s. And those are the giants. And I kind of came in during the bicentennial. I'm what they call a bicentennial baby. And what's interesting is when our group came in during the bicentennial, all the old school, these are just coming in because of the bicentennial, because there's a geometric increase in participation for obvious reasons. And then what happened was, as the old guard started phasing out, disappearing, and unfortunately passing away, it's interesting now that we are now the old guard.
Yeah.
And for the 225th anniversary of Yorktown, everybody that was running that thing, for the most part, were bicentennial babies. So all the audience, guys, never going to last. They're going to be here a couple years and gone. But there was a core of us that stayed with it. And now we're looking at what's going to happen now. We're not, unfortunately, not getting the influx of younger people to come in and carry forward. There are some. But it was this kind of thing. Even these conferences, you look around.
Yeah.
How many? There's a handful of young people, and then a few in the middle, but most of them are old, gray-haired guys with, balding, and women, and, and it's sad. But all these organizations, the company military historians that I belong to, much old men for the most part. And you get a handful, but you wonder where it's going to go.
Well, I think around here, we're just in the Mohawk Valley with the folks putting this conference together. I'm impressed that people come. This is the third year they've done this, and I think their attendance is held in with what it was last year. And yes, they are. It's an older crowd, but they're visiting here. I mean, that's what's new to us here. I mean, and it's been hard to get kind of tourism off the ground, but this seems to be doing it.
Well, they're doing a wonderful job. Brian Mack and Norm Gobin with the Fort Plain Museum, they've done wonderful work. And I know Brian was getting nervous about a month ago because he wasn't getting the call-ins for the conference, the registrations, but they were picking up. And I've been set up right across from registration all weekend, and they had walk-ins. They had people walking in off the street signing up to come in. There was at the banquet last night, they needed some extra seats because more people were there. They didn't. The caterers didn't know about it.
Well, and in fact, it got good local news coverage during the event. I know both the Daily Gazette, with which I'm affiliated, and the Amsterdam Recorder gave pretty good coverage. I could see people picking up a paper and saying, "Oh, what's this going on right here?"
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a great thing. I love it because it's such a forgotten area by elsewhere in the country. And they've done a lot, and they need to, because they preserved everything. They've got Fort Plain. They don't have Fort Plank, but they've got Fort Clock. All this stuff, the Johnson Hall, Fort Johnson. They restructured Stanwix. They got the Herkimer Home. This stuff is all here.
Yeah.
In the Hudson River Valley where I live, we've got a few, but not everything.
And so you live in the Hudson River Valley. Tell us about, you know, what's available in your website and all that stuff, your little plug.
Okay, well, like I say, I do, it's called Continental Consulting, C-O-N-C-O-N-S-U-L.com, short for Continental Consulting. And you can find articles that I've written. You will find our interview last year is out there. We have all the books I sell. And information on the Greatest Hits of the Colonial Chronicle, how to order that, and some pictures of me in my youth, when I was young, thin, and good-looking. And it's a nice, eclectic site. There's links to various history organizations and places, and I believe you're out there, on your Historians podcast is out there. If it's not, it will be. And, it's a good place to go and see. It'll give you a good jumping-off point to get into understanding Revolutionary War living history and history in general. It's good for everybody.
Well, Phil Weaver, I thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Bob Cudmore. I greatly appreciate it.
Want to thank Brian Mack and Norm Bolin